the divine souls. Today I'm going to conclude the topic of the spiritual master, the guru. I left you with a question previously that our scriptures tell us three different things regarding the guru. On one hand, they say, Natat samaschabhyadhikascha drishyate Shvetashvatropanishad. Bhagwan sabse bade hain. In other words, God is greater than the saint. What is the saint? The God-realized soul. So God is greater than the saint. The Vedas are saying no one could be equal to God, so who could be greater than him? Gita says, Natvat samostyabhyadhika kutonyo lokatraye pyapratima prabhav. Arjuna is saying to Shri Krishna that you are the greatest in all the three worlds. Who could be equal to you, let alone greater than you? In fact, the word Brahm means the greatest. Brihati. Brihat sabse bada. How great? Anant. The one who is unlimited in every way. He has unlimited life, unlimited knowledge, unlimited bliss. In other words, unlimited sat, chit, and anand. Unlimited divine powers. Unlimited forms, unlimited names. Everything about him is unlimited, and everything exists within him, so he is the greatest. None could be greater or even equal to him. But the same scriptures say, Tasmins tadjane bheda bhavat. Narad Bhakti Darshan. Naradji is saying, after God realization, the saint and God are equal. Bheda bhavat. There is an abhav of bheda. In other words, there's no difference between God and the saint. They're equal. Veda also says, Brahmavid Brahmaiva Bhavati. After God realization, the saint becomes the same as God, equal to God. Ramayana also says, Janat tumahi hoi jai. In other words, after knowing God, you become the same as God. So it means the Guru and God are one and the same. They're equal. But our scriptures also tell us, Guroh tatvam nasti param. Vedavyasji writes, there could be no tattva greater than the guru. So you see, nasti tattvam guru param. Although we always say there are only three tattvas, God, Maya, and the souls, yet here Vedavyasji is saying, no, there's a fourth tattva, guru tattva. And that tattva is the greatest of all, and none could be greater than Guru Tattva. Ramayana also says, More man prabhu as vishvasa Ram te adhik Ram kardasa. Ram's das is greater than Ram. In other words, the God-realized saint is greater than God. So we find all three types of statements in our scriptures. In other words, God is greater, or the Guru is greater, or both are equal. Even in one single scripture, the Ramayana, it says, Jiva ki isha saman. How could soul compare to God? Another place in the Ramayana it says, Janata tumahi tumahi hoi jai. After you know God, you become equal to God. And at another place it says, More mana prabhu asa vishwasa, ramate adhika rama kardasa. The saint is greater than God. So you find all three statements in one single scripture. Same thing in Vedas. Vedas are saying on one hand, Natat samascha bhyadhikascha drishyate. None could be greater than God. They also say, Yasya deve parabhaktir yatha deve tatha gurau. You should do the same devotion to Guru as you do to God. Ved is saying, the same bhakti you do to God, you should do to Guru because both are equal. Brahmavid brahmaiva bhavati. And we also see statements that Guru is greater than God. So how can all three of these statements be correct? I'm going to explain to you now. Number one, you already understand. God is the greatest. That's what Brahm means. It means the greatest. Everything exists within Him and is dependent upon Him. So who could be greater to or even equal as God? No one could be. Everyone accepts this. What about God and the saint being equal? Well, upon God realization, God gives all of His divine power to the saint. Esh atma parita papama vijaro vimrityur vishoko vijighatso pipasah satyakama satyasankalpah. Chandogya Upanishad names eight qualities of God. Upon God realization, the saint gets all eight of these. The eight are freedom from sin. In other words, total release from the bondage of karma. Freedom from old age and sickness. Freedom from death. Freedom from hunger. Freedom from thirst. And freedom from suffering, freedom from shok. Plus two more, satyakam and satyasankalp, which means whatever he desires, it happens instantly. And whatever he decides, it happens instantly. So these eight qualities of God are given, granted to the soul, once the soul becomes God realized. So, they became equal. Whatever God had, He gave it to the saint. The Brahma Sutra clarifies, however, that the soul does not become God. The soul becomes equal to God in terms of power. God has unlimited sat, He gave unlimited sat to the soul. He has unlimited chit, He gave unlimited chit to the soul. He has unlimited anand, He gave that unlimited anand to the soul who surrendered, thus becoming God realized. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mamupayanti te. Shri Krishna says in the Gita, I give my mind to the soul who surrenders to me. So whatever mind God has, you get the same kind of mind. Divyam dadami te chakshu pasyame yoga maishwaram Gita. When you surrender to Him, He also gives you divine eyes. So same eyes as He has, He gives to you. So you get divine senses, divine mind, divine bliss, divine knowledge, divine life. All the same as what God has. So you become the same as Him. You become equal to Him when you surrender to Him. This is also revealed by the word Brahm. I told you one meaning. Brihati means the greatest, that no one could be that great. But there's a second meaning. Brihati, Bringhayati, iti tat param Brahma. Bringhayati means, through God's grace, if you surrender to Him, He makes you equal to Him. Such is the greatness of His kindness and grace. So the soul who surrenders to God, with God's divine grace, he becomes equal to God. Imagine. Think of God's graciousness. An eternally Maya-afflicted soul who has done unlimited sins in unlimited lifetimes, who has insulted God, offended God, offended against God's saints. We've done all kinds of things, but the moment we surrender to God, he wipes the slate clean, forgives all of our past actions, removes all of our bondages, bondage of Maya, bondage of birth and death, bondage of this physical body, gives us a divine body instead, bondage of karma, bondage of the three gunas of Maya, bondage of the five types of klesh, mayic difficulties, bondage of the three types of suffering, tritap, bondage of the three kinds of mayic defilements, tridosh. He does all of this and gives us his unlimited bliss and knowledge and life simply when we surrender to him. So he makes us his equal. However, Brahma Sutra tells that there's still one difference. Although, bhoga matra samya lingacha, the soul is equal to God in terms of experiencing the divine bliss. However, jagat vyapara varjam, the soul is not given the work or the duty of creating, maintaining, and destroying the universe. Srishti and pralay is done only by God. So God manifests the universe having activated Maya. He still kept track of all the karmas of all the souls even during Mahapralay, and then according to their past karma gives them their next birth once Srishti starts. Once they've received a human birth, he keeps track of all their new karma and gives them all the consequences going forward. And when the time comes, he does pralay of the universe. He never gives this work to any soul. So there's still a difference between God and the saint, even after God realization. You see, we souls, right now we are ansh of God. We are a part of God's jeev shakti. God has three main powers. Swarup Shakti is his personal power, which has all the unlimited qualities, unlimited knowledge, unlimited bliss, unlimited life, etc. Omnipresence, all of that. That's his personal power, Swarup Shakti. He also has his Maya Shakti, which is the lifeless, mindless power of Maya, the material energy that manifests the universe. Then his third power are all the souls. Unlimited souls, unlimited in number, we make up his jiva shakti, his soul power. So we are ansh of his soul power. And right now, since we're not surrendered to him, we are ansh of his soul power and we're under Maya. When we surrender to him, what happens? He gives us his swarup shakti, his personal power, and Maya goes away forever. So now we become swarup shakti yukt. We have received swarup shakti, but we are still ansh of jeev shakti. So our identity doesn't change. We're still a part of his soul power, but now we've received his personal power. So we've received that inside of us. So we also get his, we've become equal to him in terms of power, yet we're still classified as an individual soul. It's just that now we're free from Maya and we've received his personal power, so we can enjoy all the benefits of that Swarup Shakti. However, we don't become God. We are still souls, but God has made us equal to Him in terms of that power. So this is why, upon God realization, the soul is said to be equal to God. So far we understand how two of these statements can be considered true at the same time. That God is God, so who could be greater than God? When we say that the saint is equal to God, it is true from this standpoint that God has given all of His power to the soul who surrenders to Him, so in terms of power, they've become equal. However, really the soul cannot be said to be equal to God, because how did the soul get that power? God gave it to him. The Atma, the soul, who surrenders to Paramatma, Supreme God, becomes a Mahatma. So it's only with the grace of God that the soul becomes equal to God. So how could we claim to be equal to God? Even at that point, we can't claim to be equal. Yet, the scriptures say in terms of power and the experience of bliss and the amount of knowledge, we are equal at that point. So, although God is the greatest and none could ever equal Him, yet the soul who surrenders to Him becomes a Mahatma or a Mahapurush. He becomes Mayatit instead of being Mayadhin like we are. But he doesn't become Mayadhish. Only God remains as the ruler of Maya. But we become Mayatit. We become beyond Maya, even though we had been Mayadhin, under Maya, since eternity. Now what about the third statement? This one doesn't seem to fit at all. How can the scriptures say that the Guru is actually greater than God? This statement is made from the point of view of the help that's provided to the souls under Maya. You see, Bhagwan says, Nirmal man jan so mohi pava, mohi kapat chhal chidra na bhava. I accept the one who has a pure heart, who has no more anger, craftiness, dishonesty. He's totally cleaned his heart. That one can attain me. So what do we do in the meantime? God is saying, come to me when you have a clean heart. And we are sitting here, and in our heart we have unlimited past lifetimes of pop. We're very far from having a clean heart. So how will we reach God? The Guru helps us from this particular state where we find ourselves. The relationship between Guru and spiritual aspirant is important to understand. I explained to you previously that the Guru helps us come closer to God. We find ourselves turned away from God and turned towards the world. So the first thing the Guru has to do is give us knowledge. Shri Krishna doesn't come to us and sit us down and start telling us about Himself. Who does that? The Guru. The God-realized saint comes in this world, sent by Shri Krishna, and explains to us, who is Shri Krishna? Who is Shri Radha? Who am I? What is my relationship to Radha and Krishna? So he gives us the knowledge. In other words, Brahma Jeev Maya. He tells us, who is God? What are souls? What is this world? What is Maya? What's the relationship between the three of them? So we understand all of that. Guru gives us this knowledge of Brahma Jeev Maya. Then he also shows us the path. See, God has told us about Himself and about the path in His scriptures, like the Vedas. However, no one can go and read those scriptures on their own. Acharyavan hi Veda. Acharyavan purusho hi Veda. Ved says, don't go and read these scriptures on your own. You need the help of a God-realized saint. Tad vijnanartham sagurumeva bhigachet samitpani shrotriyam brahmanishtham. Ved is telling, you want to know about God? Learn from a God-realized saint. Don't read Vedas on your own. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekchanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshina. Gita. You want to know knowledge of Gita? You want to know about God? Don't read it on your own. Knowledge of God is in the Gita. It's called Brahma Vidya Shastra. You can't understand it on your own. You have to learn the knowledge of Gita from the God-realized saint, from the Guru. Tasmad Gurum Prapadyeta Jigyasu Shreya Uttamam Shabde Parecha Nishnatam Brahman Yupashama Shrayam Bhagavatam. You want to know about God? Surrender to the God-realized saint, the Guru. Grinati jnanam iti guruhu, girati agyanam iti guruhu, gumrauti iti guruhu. The word Guru means the one who gives knowledge. So we have to get the true knowledge, tattva jnan, from the God-realized saint. He dispels the ignorance, girati agyanam iti guruhu. He removes our doubts and our confusions. Krishna won't come to us and do that. He sends the guru to do that. So how could we gain this knowledge? How could we know about any of this without the help of a God-realized saint? We would remain very far from God. After giving us this essential knowledge, Guru also shows us the path. How can we reach God? Receiving the knowledge is to make us understand the importance of finding God, but then we have to understand the path. What do I have to do? What is the sadhana through which I can reach God? Guru also has to explain that to us. You can call this shiksha. We have to receive these teachings from a God-realized saint. Nowadays, what do people do? They go to a guru and get a mantra. They call it mantra diksha. Do they get knowledge? No. Understanding about the path? No. They just receive a mantra. Guru tells the mantra in their ear. Kaan phoonkte hai. And they think, bas ho gaya, ab mantra mil gaya, now I'm guaranteed entrance to Golok or Vaikunth. Guruji said he'll be waiting for me there at the gates, and when I die, now that I've received this mantra, this guaranteed entrance. Kahan likha hai? Kis shastra mein likha hai? We're so quick to look for shortcuts. There's no such shortcut. There's proper sadhana that has to be followed to purify the heart so it can be surrendered to God. Simply receiving a guru, a mantra from a guru does not result in anything in and of itself. The guru, the true diksha, you can say there's two kinds of diksha. There's initial diksha, where the guru has to explain the philosophy to you and explain the path. What do you have to do? Then you have to do it. You have to do devotion, do bhakti in order to purify your heart. Once the heart is fully purified, then what does guru do? Then he gives you real diksha. What is real diksha? When your heart is 100% pure, He gives you that Swarup Shakti. See, I told you God gives it to you. That's correct, because it's God's power, but it's actually received care of the Guru. Guru ke dwara milta hai. Kab? Jab antahkaran ki shuddhi ho jati hai. Only when the mind is fully purified can the Guru give that swarup shakti. Then maya is... the effect of maya is finished for you forever, and you receive all the divine benefits that I just described to you earlier in this speech. That is the real diksha. It's a transfer of divine power which happens instantly the moment the devotee's heart is 100% pure. There's no delay from the Guru's side. But until the mind is 100% pure, the Guru cannot give that power. It's like if you haven't completed any of the wiring in your new house, you haven't put any of the bulbs, any of the switches, and you say to the powerhouse, "Oh, connect your power line to my house. I want light, I want electricity." What will the powerhouse say to you? First, you finish your work, finish the wiring, put all the fixtures and the light switches and fan switches and everything. Then I'll give my power. Before then, if I give my power, what's the use? In fact, in this case, if Guru were to give that Swarup Shakti, because it's an unlimited power, he can't give it into an impure material vessel, which is what our heart is at the moment. Our antahkaran is a material thing. So you can't receive a divine power into a material thing. Shri Kripaluji Maharaj always says, "Hum log bhasma ho jaye." We would be vaporized, turned to ash, if Guru were to just give that power. So we have to do our work first. Now Guru, imagine, Guru's given us all the knowledge, told us the path, what we have to do in order to purify our heart. He's giving us all of that help. He's also gracing us to the extent we follow his instructions for how to do bhakti. He's also gracing us an internal grace which helps to purify our heart and develop more desire for God and more bhav, more actual feelings of connection and love for God. You experience more of the sweetness of God's name and lilas and form when you meditate upon them. This is all due to the Guru's grace, which reveals this experience in the heart of a devotee. So he's doing all of that, but he can't give that swarup shakti until the heart is fully purified. Then Guru makes your heart divine and gives that swarup shakti. So you have a fit vessel in which you can receive that swarup shakti. That is asali diksha, that transfer of divine power at the time of God realization. So if someone receives a mantra and it's called diksha, yet they haven't received God realization through that diksha, it means they haven't received anything. First, you're supposed to receive teachings and follow those teachings and purify your heart. Then you get the real diksha, premdan, the transfer of that divine power into your heart. And after that, you become absolutely blissful forever. So if you received mantra diksha from someone and you didn't receive unlimited bliss as a result, it means you didn't get anything. People have started using this as a kind of commercial activity nowadays, to make some disciples, just give mantra. But by receiving that mantra, the people aren't receiving anything. They haven't changed anything internally, and nor have they received any teachings that tell them what to actually do. They think they just got the mantra, done, end of story. See, giving a mantra, historically, when the disciple's heart is fully purified, the guru different gurus, different saints have had different styles of giving that diksha, the God realization. Some simply looked into their disciples' eyes, and in that look, there was a transfer of Swarup Shakti and they became God realized. Some did it with a hug. Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji was said to do it by embracing his surrendered devotee. Didn't mean that everyone that he put a hand on became God realized, but that was one style he had. When a soul's heart was fully purified, he gave that Swarup Shakti or Prem Dan by embracing them. Other gurus in the history did it with a mantra. So they say, oh, there's power in this mantra. Yeah, it's the divine power the guru imbued in that mantra and gave it to the qualified soul, the fully surrendered disciple with 100% purified heart. He receives that mantra, and the power of that mantra makes him God realized. But if we haven't done all the fitting, wiring and everything in the house, where is guru going to give that power? It's like the powerhouse would say, where am I going to give my electricity? You haven't done any of the wiring in your house yet. So guru says, purify your heart first, then I can give this divine power. Otherwise, what would be the need for the existence of this whole universe? Guru could just make everyone God realized instantly, walk around putting his hand on people's heads or whispering mantras into the ears of unsuspecting strangers on the street, and they just become God realized and have no idea what happened to them. If a guru could do that, why wouldn't he? But he can't. We have to purify our heart first. So you see the role guru plays. Gurur Brahma, Gurur Vishnur, Gurur Devo Maheshwarah. Guru is Brahma because Brahma is the creator. So the guru instigates a desire for God in the heart of his disciple, in the heart of someone who associates with him. So he starts something. You can say we all have a seed of bhakti in our heart. But in many people, it's covered under so many layers of worldly attachments that it lies dormant. So guru helps to sprout that seed of bhakti in the heart. So he's called Brahma, Gurur Brahma. He's also called Vishnu, because Vishnu is the protector. So the guru not only teaches us the path, but he helps us along the way and protects our progress. By gracing us internally, the guru is actually protecting us so that we don't fall from the path during our bad days. When we're having a bad sanskar, the guru protects what progress we've made so that we can pass through these days of bad sanskars, and when we start getting a good sanskar again, we again go further ahead. So the guru is doing all of this for us. Some of it obvious to us, some of it behind the scenes, like the work he does by, to the extent of our surrender, he's able to reduce the effect of bad sanskars, increase the magnitude of good sanskars. He does all of this. So he is Vishnu. And he is Mahadev. He is Bhagwan Shankar, the destroyer. Because he destroys the impurities of the heart. He helps us to purify our heart, and in the end, he destroys the bondage of Maya for a soul. Thus, he is also called Shankar. Only then Bhagwan comes. Imagine, Guru did so much work, and after all of that, Bhagwan comes. So the disciple may say, when Shri Krishna comes, you know, Guru has done all this work, he finally becomes surrendered, he receives Swarup Shakti, then Shri Krishna comes to him. So he says, aap kaise aaye? Mere Guruji ne to sara kaam kiya hai. In other words, he teases Krishna that my Guruji did all the hard work and now after it's all done, now you've come? Like a mother and father raise their daughter, get her educated, pay for everything, teach her all the skills, teach her how to behave properly. It's a lot of work to raise a child. And when she's full grown and she knows and understands all of this, then some boy comes along of a marriageable age, takes her interview, says, okay, she passes, and then walks off with her after making 7 rounds of the fire. So in other words, the parents did all the hard work and the husband reaps the benefit. So Shri Krishna lets Guruji do all the hard work. He says, Nirmal man chahiye mujhe. Whoever doesn't have a pure heart, whoever has an impure heart, you go to Guru. Once the Guru has cleaned up all that mess, then I'll come to you. Now this is just a sweet way of taunting Shri Krishna. It's actually only through His grace that the Guru comes to us. However, because it is in this form that Krishna is gracing us, through the Guru, He's gracing the fallen soul to become purified and become qualified to meet Shri Krishna. Since it is the Guru who does all of that work for us, thus, Guru Govind do khare ka ke lago paayam Balihari Gurudev ki jin Govind diyo lakhayam. The devotee says, both Shri Krishna and my Guruji have come to me at the same time, so to whom should I do pranam first? He says, I choose to do pranam to my Guruji first because it is only through His grace that I got the divine vision of Shri Krishna. So I pranam to Him first and then to Shri Krishna. This is why our scriptures in some places say that Guru is greater than God, because according to the self-interest of those souls under the bondage of Maya, Guru is more useful to us at this stage. Thus, for us, Guru is greater than God. Although not from a power standpoint, because Guru and God have equal amount of power, but from the point of view of the Guru helping us to reach God at this particular stage, the importance of the Guru is greater for us. However, in the Bhagavatam, Shri Krishna says, all three of these statements are wrong. Neither am I greater than the Guru, neither is the Guru greater than me, nor are we equal. Because those three things are only possible if you have two separate entities. If you have two things, then you can say, okay, is one bigger or the other bigger, or are they both equal? Shri Krishna says, Acharyam mam vijaniyat. Know me to be the Guru. In other words, I come to you in the form of the God-realized saint. Shri Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, Esha vai Bhagavan sakchat pradhan purusheshvarah. Also from the Bhagavatam, Guru and God are one. They're not two entities. Why? Because Shri Krishna is sitting in the heart of the Guru, governing His every action. Thus, they're one and the same. So, no matter which way you want to look at it, you can understand that God is always God, so He's greater. But He's given all of His power to the Guru, so they've become equal from that point of view. But from the point of view of our spiritual progress, the Guru is more important to us, thus He is greater, yet both are one and the same. Bhakti Bhakta Bhagavanta Guru Chaturnam Bapu Eka. Bhakti, the divine love power of God. Bhakt, the one who's received that power. Bhagavant, God Himself. And Guru, four names for the same tattva, the same thing. So Guru Tattva is not a separate existence. We still only have God, the souls, and Maya. However, Guru Tattva is a term we use because God represents himself on the earth planet in the form, in a form that is useful to us as a spiritual teacher who's connected to that divine power. Thus, it is called Guru Tattva. It's a way that God graces us, a way that he manifests his grace in this world to help all the fallen souls under Maya. The Guru is actually, although any saint can be a Guru, but there could be many, many saints in the world. So the saint, the God-realized soul that you make your spiritual guide, is called your Guru. Now you'll learn when I talk more about the path of bhakti, I'll explain to you that there are actually different classes of Guru. So depending on what spiritual attainment you want, you choose a Guru of that class. But that will be coming in the days ahead. Up until this point, we've understood that the aim of our life is to attain God. In order to attain God, we have to surrender to him, because he's only attainable through his grace, and his grace is received by surrendering. But since our mind is already attached in this world, it's impossible to surrender it to God. So we have to understand the limited and temporary nature of worldly happiness as compared to the unlimited, eternal nature of divine happiness. And we also have to understand our eternal relationship with God as compared to our temporary relationships in this world, so that our mind can gradually become more attached to God and less attached in the world. In order to actually successfully complete this process, we need the help of a God-realized saint. Thus, I explained to you for the last several days about the characteristics of a God-realized saint. Why do we need a God-realized saint? How do we recognize a God-realized saint? How do we find such a guru? How does the Guru help us? What is our relationship with him? How can we receive benefit from him? All of this I've explained to you. Now the final piece of the puzzle is to understand, what path do we have to follow? What's the practical sadhana we have to do in order to purify our heart so that our heart becomes more attached to God, more surrendered to God, and eventually 100% surrendered to God? Sadhana is for purifying the heart. The path to God is the path of heart purification. This path has to be understood from a true saint. So I'm technically unqualified to teach you about the path to God, but I'm going to share with you what I learned from a true saint, from a God-realized saint, Jagadguru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. So what he taught about the three paths to God, karma, jnana, and bhakti, I'll begin explaining to you from tomorrow so that you can know exactly what practically you have to do on a daily basis in order to attain God in this life. Boliye Vrindavan Bihari Lal Ki.